Joining us on the Joe Show tonight, Canadian comedian Jessica Holmes. And Canadian indie artist Julie Curley. Do not go anywhere. This is the Joe Show. Everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Joe Show. Joe Crawford here with you on this Wednesday, June the 8th, 2016. Just three shows left before our season 9 finale. And I'm telling you, it is going to be a huge finale. I'll tell you who's on that show in just a moment because it is Wednesday, and you know what that means.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-woo! Hump day!
Yes, it is the hump of the week. I love that. Only a couple more weeks to be able to do that here on the Joe Show. And even though we're going to be gone in the summertime, we'll be back in the fall. So make sure you chime in throughout the whole summer, though, because we will have 12 full best hours of season 9 of the Joe Show here for you on Own Times Radio. So make sure that you chime in and listen, even though when we're not here. And you can check out where I'll be. Just go to my website, joecrawfordlive.com. While you're there, check out our contest as well, joecrawfordlive.com/contest. We have Where'd You Go, Joe? We have tickets given away every day until our season finale on June 22nd. To the Urban Slide, the 1,000-foot slip and slide that'll be in Niagara Falls, Canada, on Saturday, August 13th. You can win yourself a triple slide pass. Just go to joecrawfordlive.com/contest every single day leading up to our season finale and enter in to win. No purchase necessary. All you have to do is email us and tell us where I am. You know where I am right now? I'm in the studio here with you on the Joe Show. And, well, we have time for our headlines. We have a huge show joining us in a little bit. Canadian comedian Jessica Holmes. She was on Royal Canadian Air Force, and she's got some great things happening with her. We'll speak with her in just a few minutes. And then Canadian indie artist, her new song will be Julie Curley. She'll be joining us in a little bit. But, like I said, our headlines, let's get to it. Go ahead. Well, he probably wants to wash his hands of this experience. Firemen in Fuqing, China. That's right, Fuqing, F-U-Q-I-N-G, China. Were called to an apartment Sunday afternoon after an unidentified man got his head stuck in a washing machine. The man was attempting to repair his machine's drum and stuck his head inside for a better view. That was a mistake. For some reason, he was unable to get his head out. When the man's friends found him lying on the floor, they tried to free him by using soap to lubricate his skull. When that didn't work, they called in a rescue crew. Six firemen spent 40 minutes sawing through the machine before the victim was freed. I think that man will be scarred for life now to do laundry. Last year, Joan Lechleitner bought a winning ticket in a Pennsylvania lottery worth more than $1 million. Now she's being accused of purchasing that ticket with money stolen from the grocery store where she worked as a bookkeeper. The 51-year-old was arrested on Tuesday on 4 counts of conspiracy and one each of theft by deception, receiving stolen property, and tampering with records. Surveillance footage captured by the store's owner allegedly shows her and crew ringing up returns with no customers around, pocketing the money, and using that money to buy lottery tickets at the store. Last September, one of those tickets allegedly purchased with stolen money netted Lech Leitner $261,905.50. After each paying $25,000 in unsecured bail, the defendants drove away in a pickup truck allegedly purchased with the lottery winnings. Someone was having a crappy day. A Cincinnati man is facing charges of disorderly conduct and public indecency after he allegedly pooped on the scanner at a Kroger grocery store. Police arrested 23-year-old Colin Murphy on Sunday after a store employee accused him of stripping naked. Then, after disrobing, Murphy allegedly sat on the scanner at a self-checkout register and answered nature's call then and there. Prior to the incident, witnesses said they saw Murphy stumbling around the store, slurring his speech and reeking of booze. He was later released on $2,000 of bail. My goodness. And, well, you've probably heard the bad news of the tragically hip. The tragically hip lead singer, Gordy Down, well, has brain cancer. And this will be the last year that the tragically hip will be on tour. And a lot of people are pissed off, not at the tickets, not at, or is Gordon Downey? Yeah, Gordon Downey. I think I said that. Yeah. Not at the band, but for Ticketmaster. Because about 98% of these tickets that went on sale got sold by scalpers and are now on StubHub and other places like Kijiji and Craigslist for an astronomically huge amount to go see. As almost as high as 400% worth its retail value. There's got to be something against the law to be able to do this, because this is ridiculous. People are trying to cash in on someone's misfortune, and now true diehard fans cannot go see them because the fact that, well, they can't afford $2,000 for a ticket, if not more. A local radio station here in the Niagara area, in St. Catharines, Ontario, 97.7, Hits FM. I like to clap my hands and applaud the announcer, DJ, there, as, well, he did something very remarkable. The gentleman's name is Jesse Mods. Jesse Mods of 97.7 recorded himself making a phone call to a scalper with no intentions. Well, you know what? I'll let you take a listen to this. This is truly amazing. And Jesse Mods, I totally salute you. And what a great big F you to those scalpers. Take a listen.
97.7 Hits FM. I'm Jesse Mods. This morning, the final batch of tickets for the Tragically Hip's final tour ever went on sale, and those damn scalpers pretty much got 99% of them. You go on Kijiji and StubHub, all these third-party websites, the tickets are going for thousands of dollars. It's ridiculous. So today I called a scalper on Kijiji, and I wanted him to drive to me to sell me some tickets that I had no intention of ever buying. This is kind of my big F you to the scalpers on behalf of all of us. Have a listen to this.
Hello.
Hey, man. I'm calling. I saw your ad on Kijiji for some Tragically Hip tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you still have them available for the Toronto show? The last one there?
Yeah, I got quite a few. I think the best ones I have, Section 106. It's like lower 106.
Okay. What are you charging for those ones?
I'm asking 850 a piece. But if you go like online, like they're way more expensive. You're getting a deal here.
Whereabouts are you located, though?
I'm in Mississauga downtown.
Okay, Mississauga. Do you know where St. Catharines is?
Yeah.
Well, that's where I am. Is there any way? There's no way you could come out here, could you?
I don't think so, man.
I don't got a ride down there.
I can't get down to St. Catharines. Not today, anyways.
Well, what did you say? 850 a piece?
850, yeah. And I can't hold them for you, man.
So what if I made it like, what if I gave you 2,000 even, an extra $300 to drive them down here?
2,000 even.
So I'll give you $300 in gas money.
All right. What time are you thinking?
Well, I'm available like this afternoon. I'd like to meet you maybe at the Penn Center.
Penn Center. Hang on. Let me just. And where's that?
It's St. Catharines. It's our mall here.
All right. I'm probably leaving a little bit then. I can probably leave you there like around 2 or something.
Okay, what are you driving?
Give just me so your I number can if you can.
I got your number, so I'll just call you.
Okay. It's a blue Hyundai Accent, and I'll just be in the parking lot of the Penn Center, I guess.
Okay, yeah, that works, man. So I will I'll just give you a call at around 2 o'clock, and I'll meet you down there.
All right, and what's your name?
Jesse.
Okay. All right, Jesse, I'm going to head out in a few.
Okay, buddy, I'll call you around 2 o'clock. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, you got it.
Okay, bye. Now, you didn't think I would just leave you with that, right? Coming up next, this idiot drove from Mississauga to St. Catharines, and you wait till he finds out I'm not giving him $2,000. That's coming up next.
97.7 Hits FM.
97.7 Hits FM. So I found a scalper on Kijiji that was willing to drive from Mississauga to St. Catharines to sell me Tragically Hip tickets for $2,000. I made him drive from Mississauga to St. Kitts, and this is how he reacted when he found out he wasn't getting his money.
Hello.
Hey, buddy, it's Jesse calling about those Tragically Hip tickets.
Jesse, you going to be here soon?
Where are you?
The Penn Center, right outside the Zares. It's a blue Hyundai Accent.
Yeah, and what was the price we agreed on again for those hip tickets?
$2,000.
$2,000?
Yeah.
You feel good about selling those Tragically Hip tickets for $2,000?
Don't even f***ing start, man.
Do you feel good? Hey.
I just drove an hour, all right?
Do you feel good?
I just drove an hour, all right? And I got shit to do, all right?
You
I
feel,
have a job, man. I work like you. I just have to pay my
buddy, stuff. You feel good taking advantage of a dying
well,
man's...
I feel good. Yeah, yeah. You took advantage of me. You took my time.
You took my time.
I'm sitting here in St. Catharines.
Hey, buddy, listen to me. You feel good taking advantage of people trying to see one of their favorite artists on his final tour ever before he f***ing dies?
Yeah, well, they can pay the money.
And how long you been doing this for?
If they want to go, they buy a ticket for me. That's what I do. I'm giving them a ticket to see what they want to see.
And how long you been doing this for?
I've been doing this for 5 years. But that doesn't even...
You've been doing this for five...
Are you coming to buy...
been doing this for 5 years? You've been doing this for five... Hey, buddy. You've been doing this for 5 years and you drive a blue Hyundai Accent?
F*** you. What's your... I have your number, man.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't give a shit if you have my number, buddy. I got yours as well, and you're a piece of garbage. I'm glad you drove an hour to give me those tickets.
Drop dead, you f***ing moron.
Yeah, have a listen to 97.7 Hits FM on your way home, you f***ing idiot. That's my F you to scalpers on behalf of everybody.
That is great. Jesse, I applaud you for having the cojones to do that, and I hope these scalpers get stuck with those tickets. I don't want to say that because, I mean, I want people to be at the concert. It's no fair to the Tragically Hip, but these damn scalpers just piss me right off. So good for you, Jesse Mods. Greatly appreciate what you did there and a nice big F you to them. Hey, we are going to add an N on that F you because we have a full fun hour here. So it's F you N on the Joe Show. And coming up, Canadian comedian Jessica Holmes, so do not go anywhere.
And they called it puppy love.
Hi,
this is Donny Osmond, and you're listening to The Joe Show.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hey, I'm Jessica Holmes, Canadian comedian, so you may not have heard of me. You're listening to The Joe Show.
Welcome back to The Joe Show, and joining me right now is a very funny Canadian. You may have seen her earlier in the 2000 years, not 2000 years ago, but in the early 2000 decade of the 2003, I think it was, for 7 years on Royal Canadian Air Farce on CBC. She has actually her comedy up on CBC's website. You could check her out. She is also hosted Love Her in Toronto, Vancouver, and Calgary this past year. She has a new book coming out next year on the shelves about depression. And she has a new comedy special in the works that will be happening. We'll be talking about that in just a bit. But joining us right now is the one and only Jessica Holmes. Hello, Jessica. How are you?
Whoop, whoop. Ding, ding, ding. I feel like I really have to deliver after that super exciting intro. Thank you, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I could have went on, but the producer was like wrapping his finger, like, come on, wrap it up, Joe. Get to the guests. But you, my dear, are a very busy, active comedian, and a lot what you do as well. And I love it because not only are you very busy and you're Canadian, but to help it all off, you're actually funny.
Oh my God! Thank you.
Have you ever been to those? I say that because I've been to a comedy shows or amateur nights, and they actually think they're funny, but they're really not.
Oh, well, it's so hard. Like, there's a difference between wanting to be on stage and just being a naturally funny person. And I've seen, you know, they have schools now that will actually give you a 2-year comedy program. And it's tough because some of the people coming out, even though they've put in all that effort and all that studying, may not be a naturally funny person that's going to be engaging on stage or show like enough chutzpah to actually keep the audience, where some of them had the talent all along and maybe didn't even need the program.
Did you, when growing up, I don't know your family situation, but were you always the funny one? Were you an only child? Were you vying for the attention and the laughter of others in the household or even friends?
Do you know what? My whole family, like, I have this giant extended family of all these aunts and uncles, and they are hilarious. And I would say they're funnier than me, but I'm the only person who likes to get on stage and roll the dice and see what happens. So I'm the only person with like the stomach to go on this roller coaster ride of a career. But yes, I more observed comedy. I more like was jotting down ideas. And so when it finally came time for me to try doing stand-up, I did it on a dare for the first time. And it was using like desperately everything my family had been saying for the last, I was basically just stealing all of their material.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. Once I went through all that, then I actually had to write my own stuff and yeah, prove my chops that way. But
I just tried to picture a 20-year-old talking about parroting about, and you're stealing it from your parents, but you're not, weren't even a parent at 20 years of age.
Yeah. So I'm up on stage being 20, talking about raising teenagers and yeah, it wasn't successful right off the bat.
Speaking with Jessica Holmes here on The Joe Show and talking about a ride of a career that you've had and continue to have, along with doing some movies. You did Royal Canadian Air Farce, so then there's comedy sketches that you're doing. You also have been involved in the Canadian Improv. And now stand-up, you kind of dabble into everything. What has been your...
Well, yeah, I feel like to make a living in Canada as a comedian, you sort of have to have about 18 jobs at any given time.
Yeah.
And it's weird because I know I look very busy. Like if you go on my social media, I look really busy, but a big part of it is just planning. Like, oh my gosh, like shows that I have, for example, next week, I'm doing a show where I have to play Shakira for a live event. And so this morning I spent 4 hours out shopping for a wig. Like, it's just the weirdest, it's the weirdest job. It's the weirdest career. And some shows I have are incredible and so high profile and so exciting. And then the next week I'm doing a show that no one will ever have heard of. And it's in the middle of nowhere. And yeah, so it's, you can't get a big head, I feel like, if you're making your living in Canada in comedy. There's no time to get a big head.
You don't have someone that goes out and do the wig shopping for you?
I don't have a wig person. I don't. I can't afford a full-time wig person salary. Yeah. With union rates, you're talking $600 a day. It's just out of control.
Now, which one do you enjoy along with, like, the comedy sketches, doing the stand-up comedy, doing the improv?
Well, I loved doing stand-up comedy, and that's how I sort of made my living when I left Air Farce. I went back kind of going on the road and touring, and I did that for a couple of years. And after my kids were born, I had postpartum depression. And when I came through that, I sort of thought, you know, I love doing comedy, but I kind of want to get a little deeper. And so I got trained as a wellness coach. And now people, when they hire me, they can hire me either to do pure comedy or to do comedy with some motivational speaking involved. And that is really meaningful to me. And you know what, though? There's some days I just want to do the comedy and I'm grateful to get on stage and not have to go deep. And then there's other days where I'm really jonesing to, like, tell my story and help other people out of a funk. It was like, to be creatively fulfilled, it was important for me to not only ever do Celine Dion impressions for the rest of my life, but to kind of to find something else to mention on stage.
Talking about your depression, your postpartum depression here, I know you have a new book that's going to hit the shelves next year. And I mean, is this a story that you've written about your experience through postpartum or what?
Yeah, I wanted to do a book that was funny, that sort of explained to people what depression is like, so that it would be validating for people who are in it and nothing hard. There's no three-syllable words. It's just comedy. Comparing my time being depressed to sort of like a gerbil's life, where you're just kind of hiding in the corner for a couple of years. And I also wanted to do a book that would help people whose loved one is going through depression, because that's the biggest thing when I'm on stage speaking about it. The majority of people who come see me after are really worried about their wife or their brother or whoever is in their life going through it. And they're like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, you can't do anything. You just got to say, I love you and I'm here for you. That's all that you can do for them. And, you know, not be a doormat. But so I just wanted to write something that would validate for them
now
and give them some laughs.
Yeah, I haven't read the book, and I don't want to give away the book. And if this question answers what's in the book, maybe just sum it up in a little bit of a few words here. But with you having the postpartum depression, I mean, sometimes it's hard to get out of that funk, and sometimes people never even get out of the depression and even sinks down to a lower part of a whole different scenario. But you seem, I mean, you're chirpy, you're happy, you're working, you're moving on. How did you get out of your slump, kind of?
It was a lot of different things. It included medication. It included getting some structure in my day. That's part of, I think, why so many people in comedy are able to slip into a depression without anyone even noticing and without their handlers noticing that their career is suffering at all. Part of it is you only have to be on for an hour a day maximum. And so whether you're completely in demand or not at all, the most you're ever going to do is one set per night, maybe two at most. And then the rest of the day, it's tough, because if you have any demons, you have all this time to wrestle with them. And there's too much time without structure and stuff. So I had to get more structure into my life. I got a dog. I started, like, I know that sounds really
minuscule,
simple,
but yeah,
it's I had to have people who depended on me and to know that, like, I had commitments. And so I joined a couple of sports teams, and there was so many things, and I don't want to oversimplify it, because for some people it's going to be a lot more difficult to come out of it. But, you know, therapy, I started a web series of my eating habits and my workout habits, just because if I make myself work out, it's never going to happen. But if I know, oh my God, I have a deadline because I have to keep shooting these videos, then I'm more likely to do it. So it was kind of like trying harder to have a full day that has meaning all the way through it, instead of just feeling like all day I can be alone with my thoughts going downhill, and then I jump on stage for an hour.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that too, because about a year or so ago, and people were like shocked when Robin Williams committed suicide. And we're like, yeah. Oh my God, they never saw it. And the public never sees the behind the doors. We always see the funny person on stage, on screen, or whatever mm-hmm. else. So to say what you're saying totally validates it. And I've also even heard, I don't know if it was him that said it or somebody else, that I heard another comedian say it too, that you can have a group of comedians sit behind the stage in a green room, and not one is really funny. But then once that spotlight comes on, they're funny, they're a riot. But to have them sit in a room together, it's pretty boring, actually.
Well, and also, I mean, how many of them are happy backstage? Like, that's part of why I stopped going to do shows in comedy clubs. Part of it was I just found it a sort of negative attitude, and where it's almost like frowned upon to be the really happy person. And I never fit in with the comedy world that much. I think because I was sort of enthusiastic and excited, and I stuck out like a sore thumb, and just, it only caused resentment. And I've noticed that a lot of the people who have really made it, like, for example, Russell Peters, he's got his posse that travels with him, and they're people that lift him up, that he's happy with, like his brother's his manager and tours with him. And yeah. You can see how important it is to surround yourself with really positive people and the difference that that makes. But I think about Robin Williams a lot, and someone wrote this great thing. It was somewhere on social media where they just talked about how mental illness, it's not as though he wanted to kill himself. It's that it was as though he was in a building that was burning and on fire, and the only choice he had was to jump out the window. Yeah. So you can imagine how much pain he was in, but there he was on stage. Anytime he was on camera, he was like shining his light. But I think that the types of us who get into comedy in the first place, you have a high percentage of people who are real thinkers. And sometimes if you don't have the right outlet, that can be kind of destructive. To be the kind of person who analyzes too much, or who has such a huge range of emotions and wears their heart on their sleeve, you can get hurt more easily. And that's why I feel like it's the chicken and the egg. Like, one doesn't necessarily cause the other, but maybe they go together too easily.
Go to Jessica Holmes' website, and when the book comes out next year, you'll be notified. And like Jessica Holmes on Facebook, and follow her on Twitter and her social media, jessicaholmes.com. And this is probably hitting a lot of strings to a lot of listeners out there. And to spell Jessica's last name, it's Holmes, jessicaholmes.com. And follow that along, as when that comes out, we'll maybe have Jessica on again and talk a little bit more about that. But I want to get back a little bit now to the comedy, and you made a couple mentions here of impersonations of Celine Dion and Shakira. Have you ever heard from these celebrities when you've done impersonations and they're like, oh, Jessica, that was spot on, or oh, Jessica, that was horrible?
Oh, well, I did run into someone at CBC that I had played, and we were in the elevator together. She was a news announcer, and she was like, yeah, I saw how you did that. I didn't realize that I did that with my head, but you keep doing it in the impression. You know, I think she was trying to be nice about it, but wondering, like, why would I be so strange with it? And why would I kind of mock her physical things? And I was like, oh my gosh, you know what? I'm so sorry, but they hand me a script and they say, make this person funny. So here you are, just a totally nice person. There's nothing bad about you, but I'm asked to make entertainment out of out of your mannerisms. So I do it, you know, and that's why I've avoided meeting Celine Dion. We definitely, I mean, I run into people who are close with her all the time, and I just turn the other way because I feel like I've heard she's a really nice person, and I think if she ever said to me, please don't do that anymore, I'd have no choice but to give up my whole career. So I avoid her, and I avoid Liza Minnelli, but I mean, there have been times where I've wanted to scale back, and here's an example. So when Renee Angelil passed away this winter, right away I was like, well, obviously I'm not going to kick someone when they're down. I have to give this impression a rest. But I didn't have enough material to fill an hour-long show if I was missing 10 minutes of Celine Dion. So I got in touch with my audio guy and said, we have to put together a medley of everyone else I can do. And so, I mean, this is the kind of neat day that I had where I was just listening to iTunes, going through all these different artists, trying to see if I could do an impression of them. And if I couldn't, I just had to move on to the next person right away. And we came up with a list of about 10 people, and I ended up putting together a medley last minute, which was really cool because that's a good way to force yourself to do new material.
Absolutely.
Very
innovative as well.
Yes. Yeah. And it was good. It was actually just in time for David Suzuki's 80th birthday party. I had to perform at it and thought, what am I going to do? Because they said he really wants to do impressions of singers. So anyway, it ended up going over really well. But I was reminded, just like in high school, I work best under pressure like that.
Beautiful. Jessica Holmes here on The Joe Show. And along with doing what you've done for so long, you've opened up for even such big, great comedian names, like Jerry Seinfeld. And, well, Leslie Nielsen's Canadian, and Ellen DeGeneres. And I'm guessing when Oprah was down here in Toronto in Canada, you opened up for them too, Oprah and Deepak and Tony Robbins?
Yeah, that was honestly the greatest experience. Just incredible to meet those people and to kind of feel like it was such a surreal experience. I didn't even feel like it was me. I was like, wow, Jessica Holmes is having the most amazing career. And it didn't even, like, it never felt like it was happening to me because it was too good. It was too exciting to see my heroes up on stage. And so I opened for Tony, and backstage I was telling him, oh my God, you know what? It was like your 30-day motivational tapes. That's what got my career started. And thank you so much. And he was great. And he invited me down to San Jose to go be a part of his, be a special guest at one of his big seminars, which last like 4 days.
Nice.
And I was so honored. And I went down, and I was one of about 100 special guests that he had invited. And I was like, oh no. He's got a lot of special guests, but it was still exciting.
That's
still
awesome. And did the Big O say anything to you?
No. And actually that's part of one of the chapters in the book that I'm writing right now is, I was suffering from depression when I opened for Oprah. So from the audience's vantage point, it was like, oh my God, she's so lucky. Look at her up there opening for Oprah. But I was so depressed at the time and so in a funk that even though I could get up on stage and deliver my lines and be excited for like an hour, when I got off stage, I just felt like such a pile of turds that I didn't even speak to her. Didn't even go over to say, thanks for having me. I know. But you know what? I don't want to be a downer because my life is so back on track right now. And
that's awesome.
I want to use the fact that I've come through it to help other people.
Absolutely.
But it kind of, you know, it was like a weird, it was the way that I write about it. It's comedic. It's just like, so I'm standing 8 feet away from Oprah, and instead of talking to her, I'm just texting my nanny to pick up celery. And it's like, it's odd. Even now, when I told my husband, my husband came home and I was like, oh, I got this call to open for Oprah. And he's like, that's exciting. And I was like, shh, I'm watching Dr. Phil, please. I don't want to talk about it. Like,
I don't mean to laugh, but
me.
That's crazy though. But you're in the middle of writing the book then, I guess, right now. Do you find it hard knowing that you're going to expose what you have gone through, or are you happy that you're able to expose, to share your experience of what you've gone through?
Yeah, I feel like comedians, the way that we deal with things, like it's the most natural thing in the world and the most healing thing in the world to just hop on stage and talk about it. I know that's the opposite of how the rest of the population feels. Anytime I get on stage and mention the depression, people afterwards are like, that must be so hard. You must need a hug and you're so brave. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no. Brave would be like closing my mouth for 5 minutes and not going on and on. Like, it's just the comedian's way to kind of to feel like as soon as you experience something, you want to jump on stage and share it with other people.
It's like,
I mean, it's to the point where even if people ask me to sing at their wedding or if people want me to MC something at my kid's school, when I do it, it's just so second nature. They say, are you nervous? And I'm like, no, what's uncomfortable for me is sitting home and not performing.
Yeah,
that's what's weird.
And it's also like being on stage is like it's like the audience is the therapist and you're on stage and just letting it all out kind of deal as well.
Oh, there's nothing better than laughing about it. And I mean, I'm sure you know this, like as a being in the comedy industry, the saying for writers is tragedy plus time equals comedy, or stress plus time equals comedy, embarrassment plus time equals comedy. So when I'm on stage, I share with the audience that every story I tell on stage is something that was so awful or embarrassing in the moment. And then I talk about it later. Like my kids, they're the light of my life, but my daughter's always rubbing my face and saying, you have the softest beard. And like, I'm like, dude, that is really embarrassing in the moment. And I'm like, look, I'm 40 and my face is like a chia pet. I get it. Like, this is nature. This is what happens to women. And so for me, I almost look forward now to those embarrassing moments. And that's part of why comedians, we have to say yes to every new experience. Like when we get invited somewhere, no matter how ridiculous it is, it's our job to go and to sort of put ourselves out there and probably fail. But then you get to make fun of it and then you have a new set.
Absolutely. And speaking with Jessica Holmes again, the website, jessicaholmes.com, check it out. And I also want to make a mention too, one of my favorite comedians, and I don't know if you've ever seen her documentary, Joan Rivers. And she has, and it just reminded me when you said what worries you is sitting at home and not having a gig or a show. She showed, I don't know if you've ever seen her document where she shows her calendar and it's empty. She goes, that's what scares me because nobody wants me. And I was
and it's so funny because you would think, well, Joan, like you already had your career. What, do you still need to be wanted, really? But if you still have something to say, then absolutely you want to know that there's a paying audience out there waiting for you. It's the creative process. Like, I don't think it's about being employed for her. I think for her, it was truly about like, she has more to give.
Yeah.
And she had more and more and more to give. And oh my gosh, like it's everyone's dream to be 80 and still be able to get on stage and even remember your lines, let alone your name.
Like,
she really, it was wonderful to see that she had such a great comeback after being on The Apprentice.
Oh yeah. And I know you made a quick mention about your kids. Do the kids know, or are they still too young, that mommy's pretty famous here? She's like with Jerry Seinfeld and Oprah. Daddy did Nut Job, the cartoon movie Nut Job or whatever. Also.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. You know what? They do feel like my husband is the bigger success because he's been in an animated movie. So that's kind of how they measure it. But quite frankly, they think that anyone on YouTube is very famous. And I remember one day I put one of their videos up on YouTube and they bragged to everyone at school. And I was like, no, you guys, you got to learn what to brag about. Like being on YouTube is anyone is able to do that. So I was like, that's not really the measure of success, but they don't get it yet. So, but I mean, it's been very cool. Like to get to take them to the opening of plays and to get to kind of travel to go on set with them here and there. They have a pretty great life. And I think they don't know yet how lucky they are to be able to see the industry from the inside. It's been very exciting. Like I did a musical last November and they got to come and see it unlimited. And that was cool. Like I think my daughter came 8 times to see this musical. It was Peter Pan in Wonderland and I played the Queen of Hearts. Anyway, it was cool. Really fun. Yeah. So moments like that, I'm like, oh, that's so great. And then there's, you know, unfortunately being on the road, but I haven't told them yet that secretly I love going and staying in a hotel without my family.
It's a little mommy's getaway. All right. Sounds good. A little mommy's getaway. JessicaHolmes.com. Find her on Facebook. Find her on Twitter. I know summer's just around the corner. We're in June right now. Any summer plans? I know maybe you are hoping that you can make a Korean barbecue without having the fire department on standby. So maybe a lot of Korean barbecuing in the summer.
I know. Our doorbell rang one day and I answered it, and it was our neighbor saying, "Just so you know, your barbecue's on fire." And I was like, "Look, I know. I'm just not good at barbecuing." But I have to tell you something. I'm on your website right now, speaking of social media, and there's a picture of you with the rubber chicken. And I have to tell you, when I first started doing stand-up, and I would go to Yuck Yucks and do the open mic nights there.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it's not as though the headliners there were too excited to see other people come up the ladder. And there was one MC that used to have rubber chickens on amateur night, and he would whip chickens at you if you were failing on stage. It was like so humiliating. Oh my gosh, it was so humiliating. And that's why when I get paid, if I get a big paycheck to go and do a show somewhere, and I say to my mom, like, "Oh my God, like, I don't feel worthy of getting a paycheck to do what I love." And she says, "No, Jess, the paycheck isn't for the hour you're going to spend on stage tonight. The paycheck is for all the rubber chickens you had to have thrown at you, and all the terrible nights where you'd perform in a beer hall for two people, and, you know, one of them was drunk and the other one wet themselves." Like, she's like, "That is what you are getting paid for. All the reciprocal bad things you had to go through to get where you are." So I'm like, okay,
that's
good
true
philosophy.
Way to go, Mom. It's exactly right. And Jessica, we wish you all the best and continued success. Looking forward to the comedy special that's going to be coming out later on, the book in the new year, and everything else that you're doing. You're very funny, and I enjoyed you. I knew who you were from. I used to watch Royal Canadian Air Farce all the time, and I'm like, oh yes, I was excited to be able to interview you. So I enjoyed you there too. But we enjoy everything that you do, and we wish you all the best.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Joe. Have a great day.
Oh, you too. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after this here on The Joe Show.
Streets. streets of Manhattan, Woody Allen looks down on you. Recalling last night in satin sheets, now you start to feel cheap. With Fifth Avenue never looks so bleak, with falling stars never felt so weak. A tiny skirt never looks so cheap, Broadway dreams never felt that far.
There, you just heard our musical guest's latest song, Silk Stocking District, by Julie Curley, singer-songwriter, Canadian female indie artist, is with us right now. Hi, Julie, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Joe, and you?
I'm doing very well, thanks for coming on. And I did hear, and as I was listening to Silk Stocking District, it is beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, the video, I know that you shot this in Upper East Side Manhattan.
Yes, yes, indeed, yes. We went to New York for a weekend, and we shot it on location.
Yeah. Now, why the decision at Upper East Side Manhattan?
Because the Silk Stocking District tells the story of feminine power, and it's the strength of a woman who won't sleep her way to the top to achieve success. And I've used the idea of the Upper East Side Manhattan to tell the story. So I use the story of silk stockings in conjunction with women's addiction, and also the history of Silk Stocking District. So it's the story of a young woman who seduces rich men living in Upper East Side Manhattan to make it on Broadway, to advance a career. So I put myself, the singer, as the narrator of the story. And it's kind of a critique of many arts, if you may say, like music, theater, cinema, and entertainment, and other social spheres. And what some women do or often have to do to advance their career. So it was kind of a feminist song, if I may say.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Yeah.
So it's the idea of the stockings and silk stocking district and Manhattan. So that's why we shot there. Yeah.
Now, this song, I'm guessing you created this, you wrote this song.
Yeah.
And so is this of an experience of what you maybe have gone through yourself, or is it from no, from people that you, or stories you've heard, you put together, or what?
No, it's more a social observation, if I may say.
Yeah.
You know, and I really wanted to tell a story, because as once Cecil B. DeMille said, you know, the great filmmaker, he said the greatest art of in the world is the art of storytelling. So that's why I'm applying in my songs. You know, some are more personal and autobiographical, but some others are more like a story. Like Silk Stocking District, it's really a story and a critique, you know, in a way.
Now, Silk Stocking District, we're speaking with Julie Curley. You can visit her website, juliecurley.com. It's juliecurley.com. And is this song on the album Confession?
No, no. Confession is an album that was out in 2014, and it's a French album.
Okay.
So, but it's going to be on our new album. It's currently in production, and it's Factor funded, and it's going to be out in the fall. With many other songs. It's my first English EP. So Silk Stocking District will be on this one, but it's also available on iTunes right now.
Oh, so people can go and get it then too, because it is a wonderful song. And
thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I know that you're very busy getting this new CD out then in production and out by the fall time. And you're also joining the Rise Up Tour in the summertime, and tell me a little bit about this Rise Up Tour. I know you're in Montreal, and you're doing some shows in July around the Quebec area, but what's this Rise Up Tour?
So the Rise Up Tour is a tour organized by Rossmore Management Services, so all the artists are part of it. So in Montreal, it's going to be June 2nd, and I'll be with Simon Edley and Aaron Ray. And I'll be headlining the show, of course. And 3 days later, we will be in Quebec City, so June 5th, with Simon, with Aaron Ray, and with Karen Kuss. So it's going to be amazing.
Awesome. And then what else is planned for the summertime for you?
We have a couple of shows locally in Montreal with my band, and we will be, of course, producing the album, so it's going to be a lot of work on this side.
Yeah.
And I have also a crowdfunding campaign that which is currently going on.
Yeah.
On GoFundMe. So I know that for the album I have some factor funded, but, you know, it's always great to have money from people that want to, you know, spread the word about indie music. So it's GoFundMe Julie Curry, so they can find me there if they want.
Awesome.
And people can get a pair of Dead Soxy.
Oh,
you know, that's the with the link with Silk Stocking District.
There you go. That's awesome. I was going to say there's got to be some kind of stockings with her somehow or whatever else. And people can also find you on social media. You're on Facebook and all over the place, but they can connect through your website, juliecurley.com. And let's just give the band a shout out as well. Who's in the band and who plays what in the band?
Okay, so I write the lyrics, and I sing.
Yeah.
Sometimes I play mandolin and harmonica, and I have my bass player, which is also a guitarist, and he's also the composer of most part of the songs, Gilbert Quentin, so he's my great collaborator. We began this adventure together. And afterwards, some great musicians came around. So we have Robert Massé on drums, and we have Jean-Yves Cardin on the keyboards.
Beautiful. All right. Well, you can hear them out if you're in the Quebec area, Montreal area this summertime. And of course, you can hear Julie on iTunes and hear the band as well. JulieCurley.com. Silk Stocking District is the song to look out for, as it will be on the new album too. Julie, we wish you all the best and continued success, darling.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe, for this interview. And I want to thank Tracy also and Rustner Management Services, because they are a great help. You know, being an indie musician, we have to have a great team. So I feel fortunate on this.
Absolutely. And you know what? When the CD comes out, come back on, because I know we break for the summertime for hiatus. Okay. But we have season 10 that will be taking place in the fall time, probably in October. And we'll get you back on, and probably the CD will probably be out or just almost about ready by then.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
All right, perfect. Well, Julie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
A 100 yellow ribbons around the old tree.
This is Tony Orlando, and you're listening to The Joe Show.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on Ohm Times Radio.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Ohm Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.ohmtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Ohm Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hey, this is Rhonda Sykes, and you're listening to The Joe Show. I make it.
Well, that's going to do it for us here on The Joe Show. My gosh, time has flown by fast. Another hour has come and gone. You can listen to us anytime on iTunes for free, absolutely free.
just go to my website, joecrawfordlive.com, click on the Joe Show tab, and you can listen to the Joe Show past shows as up to date as of last week's show. All right, so check that out there. Also, don't forget to enter in to win for that 1,000-foot slip and slide ride in Niagara Falls, Saturday, August 13th. The contest runs until our season finale, Wednesday, June 22nd. It's all on our Facebook, Joe Crawford, or what is it? Facebook.com/Joe Show Live. That's what it is. Give us a like, give us a follow, and I will talk to you next week. Take care, and remember, don't be ordinary, be extraordinary.